right, the next case is Kimberly Verhoeve versus Progressive County Mutual Insurance Company. Ask the clerk to call the case.
May it please the court, Mr. Dan Martin will argue for appellant, Mr. Eric Eggball will argue for appellate.
All right. Mr. Martin.
Thank you, Justice Holman. Counsel and your honors. I represent Kimberly Verhoeve, and that is an important distinction in this case because Glenn Verhoeve was the driver of the vehicle involved, and Glenn Verhoeve was sued in this case. Kimberly Verhoeve is not the family member, is the ex-spouse of Glenn Verhoeve. She has actually sued her ex-husband. There is no dispute in this case that they are not family members. However, what is interesting is this case seeks to use the family member exclusion, I believe, for the first time in Texas jurisprudence. It's certainly not been reported that it's ever been used, to use the family member exclusion to exclude coverage, both liability and uninsured motorist, underinsured motorist in this case, to exclude liability and underinsured motorist coverage for a non-family member. And I do not believe that this is the case, or there should be a case that a family member exclusion should be used to deny coverage to a non-family member.
I have a question.
Yes, Your Honor.
There was one policy, right?
There was one policy, yes.
And so did the divorce happen and they just didn't notify the insurance company, or?
That's not part of the record, Your Honor.
Okay, but is Kimberly still named as a covered driver on the policy?
She is a named insured. There are distinctions made within the policy, which I'll get into, to show the court that simply because she's a named insured does not mean that she is not covered. And I think that I may answer the court's question through my argument. I'll get to it at this point.
Is there a divorce decree in evidence?
I do not think the divorce decree is in evidence, but it's undisputed that they are divorced. It's undisputed they are not family members, and that is in the evidence. However, it was, I believe it's in the form of an affidavit, but it's not disputed that they are not family members.
Thank you.
But there is one policy, but in looking at the declarations page in this case, and in distinguishing every case that has been cited by Progressive, if the court will look at the declarations page, which is part of the record, it will see that this is simply a case where two non-family members are covered under a single policy. Now, when I say a single policy, we have to look at what's in the, what does the declarations page indicate about what coverages were there. This automobile accident occurred while Glenn Verhoeve was driving the vehicle that was covered with a separate liability coverage, with separate premium paid, with separate uninsured motorist coverage paid, than the other automobile, which was furnished for the use of and used by Ms. Verhoeve, Kimberly. That was the 1997 Ford Ranger pickup truck. So, and there was a separate premium paid for the liability coverages for that vehicle and essentially Kimberly's vehicle for liability coverage as well as UIM. So though we have one policy, this is no more than one policy having two completely separate coverages, two complete separate premiums paid for two completely separate coverages. Now that's important, but what is more important is the actual language of the policy itself. The court, and I'm going to point to, I believe, four different sections of the policy. And I will address the liability portion first. And as the court will recall, summary judgment was granted against Glenn Verhoeve and Kim Verhoeve, but was granted denying coverage for Glenn Verhoeve, who was legally responsible for the wreck. Legally responsible is that is the term used in the liability portion of the policy. So what we're looking at first is the liability coverage as to Glenn Verhoeve. So let's look at that. And I would point to page 2, part A, the liability coverage. So let's see first if Glenn Verhoeve would be covered if there wasn't an exclusion. Okay? And real quickly, one sentence, the very first sentence, we will pay damages on page 2. We will pay damages for bodily injury or property damage for which any covered person becomes legally responsible because of an automobile accident. Now, who is that talking about? Who is the covered person that they're talking about, that Progressive is talking about here? Progressive is talking about, obviously, through a clear reading of the policy, Glenn Verhoeve being the person legally responsible for the accident. Okay? We haven't gotten to the UIM part. So let's then look, if Glenn Verhoeve is covered under the liability portion of the policy, let's look at the exclusion that Progressive would choose to exclude him from his liability coverage. Recall, Kimberly Verhoeve sues him. He's legally responsible. He's covered now. He's covered. Now let's look at the exclusion that they cite. And the only exclusion that is cited is the family member exclusion on page 6 of the policy. Letter C. We do not. So who is it that they're excluding here? We've got Glenn Verhoeve as being covered. Who are we excluding? Answer. We do not provide liability coverage for you. Who would be the you? Glenn Verhoeve. We do not provide coverage for you or any family member. Family member's not that issue here. For bodily injury to you, it would put this policy and the reading of the policy standing on its head if we were to read that you as being Kimberly Verhoeve, which is what they want to do. So what Progressive would like to do is take a very, what I believe is very clearly meant to be, we do not provide liability coverage for the person legally responsible, because they're never going to provide liability coverage for the passenger who was in the vehicle. So that's number one, and it's simply not an appropriate reading of the policy. So what in effect this company is doing, it is taking a clear provision, clearly meaning the you is Glenn Verhoeve, and they're picking and choosing which you they want to use when the you is really the named insured. It doesn't need to get that complicated. The policy shows that you means Glenn Verhoeve in this case.
But she's a named insured too.
She is a named insured, Your Honor, yes. And she paid us, and there was a separate coverage paid for her. But she is not the you that it could possibly be talking about in letter C, because letter C is indicating we do not provide liability coverage for you. So in trying to make a determination as to which you they are talking about, and it's a singular, and named insured is a singular, in making that determination, we simply have to look at the clear language or just at the concept of what liability coverage is. They're never going to provide liability coverage for her. So a passenger in the vehicle who's in the wreck. So it could not mean you. Now, what's interesting is they're going to take that you in the next portion of the policy, and they're going to pick and choose which you it is. And now we go to the UIM portion of the policy. And what we do is we turn to the insuring agreement. And the insuring agreement is on page 12. And on part C, let's see who's covered. Remember that she has a separate premium paid for the vehicle she drives. Okay? This is not a situation where we've got a passenger who's a family member in a vehicle and the vehicle she's in is the only one covered. Okay? Those are the two distinctions from any of the cases cited by counsel. She's not a family member, and there was a separate coverage paid on this policy. Under the insuring agreement, we will pay damages which a covered person is legally entitled to recover from the owner or operator of an uninsured motor vehicle. Okay? We will pay damages. Who will they pay damages to? When they're obviously not talking about paying damages to the driver, Glenn Bierhoff, he's never going to be able to make a claim under the underinsured motorist portion of his policy. There's actually a separate exclusion for that. But we will pay damages which a covered person, in this case it could only be Kim Bierhoff, is legally entitled to recover. From whom? From Glenn Bierhoff, the underinsured motorist in this case. Now that we know that Kim Bierhoff is the person that they're talking about, let's look at the only provision, the only exclusion that Progressive says applies in this case, and that is on page 13. And on page 13 of the policy, it simply reads, "However, what is not an uninsured motorist? What is not an underinsured or an uninsured motor vehicle?" Uninsured motor vehicle does not include a vehicle that is owned by or furnished or available for the regular use of you or any family member. In other words, we don't provide you, Kimberly Bierhoff, with uninsured motorist protection if the vehicle that you're in when you're injured was your vehicle, was owned by you. Again, Your Honor, there is not a disputed fact. It is not in dispute that Kimberly Bierhoff did not own, nor was this vehicle that she was in that day, furnished to her. The court must, I believe, think of her, even though she's the ex-spouse, she is an ex-spouse. She is a stranger to, she is truly a stranger to the liability portion of his policy, and he's a stranger to her uninsured motorist claim. Again, what is an uninsured motorist vehicle? It's a vehicle. We're not going to cover you, Kim Bierhoff, if you own the vehicle that you were in when you were injured. And the fair reasoning why the family member exclusion should apply in other cases would be that the passenger would be essentially getting a free ride. There's been no coverage paid. And the family, and that person is a family member. We've got two problems here, or Progressive has two problems. They're using the family member exclusion to exclude her. She's not a family member. And the second problem is, in this particular case, there has been a separate premium paid, unlike any of the other cases in that have been cited. I believe this court, and there's not a case on, there's some oil and gas cases out there, but there's not a case on severability of a contract. But I believe that an additional reason why the court should find in favor for both liability coverage for Glenn Bierhoff and for her uninsured motorist coverage is because there were these separate premiums paid. And I believe the court should look at this policy as being essentially two separate coverages, two separate policies. It is unfair for simply because this insurance company decided to put both of these coverages in the same policy. If they were two separate policies, we wouldn't be here today. Interestingly, the insurance company is getting a benefit. If they were to win under this scenario, and let's look at the liability portion of it. If Glenn Bierhoff is found not to be liable, or excuse me, not to be covered in this case, the court must understand that if Kim Bierhoff had not paid a premium, or if there had not been a premium paid, in other words, if her name didn't appear on the contract, if then we wouldn't be here, because there wouldn't be a question, but that there would be liability coverage for the so the fact that they're getting an additional premium for liability, for her liability payments, and the other coverages that she's got in the case, because she happens to be a named insured, they want to pick her and put her name in the exclusion when his name is obviously the one who should be placed there, and vice versa. Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Martin. Mr. Ekvall.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. Eric Ekvall. I'm here for Progressive County Mutual Insurance Company. Let me start with a quote from what counsel said for the appellant. If there were two separate premiums and two separate policies, we wouldn't be here. There are no two separate premiums and there are no two separate policies. We are here because the court is being asked to interpret and apply one single policy and the language contained in that single policy as it relates to two named insureds on that single policy. There is no evidence that there were two separate premiums paid. There's a declarations page that lists out how they calculate premiums for the single policy. It's broken down by vehicle. One policy, one premium. That's what's in evidence. With regard to the allegation that Kimberly Verhoeve is somehow entitled to recover separately, there is no such evidence. Before the court today is two separate premiums of a standard Texas automobile policy. These two separate provisions of the policy, the family member limitation, it used to be the exclusion, and it was overturned in Johnson and then subsequently rewritten, has been applied by courts across the state. It's been analyzed. It's been applied. It's been enforceable. It's been found to be unambiguous. The second provision, which is a definition of what constitutes an underinsured automobile, has been similarly applied, analyzed, reviewed, held to be enforceable, has been upheld again and again, most recently in the Sherita case that the court heard about in the previous argument. Just simply preceded this one. Where this case differs is that we have a single vehicle accident in which one passenger, a named insured on the policy, brought a liability claim against another named insured on the same policy, arising out of a single vehicle accident and the injuries she sustained. She is entitled to recover up to $20,000, which is the statutory prescribed minimum limits of coverage as defined by the policy and as limited by the Texas legislature as it relates to coverage available under the liability coverage. That money was tendered. There's no dispute about that. That evidence was before the court, and there's been no debate about that issue. Having now proceeded with a liability claim against her ex-husband, as she is entitled to do, Kimberly Verhoeve then attempted to make a UIM claim under the same policy, which is directly contrary to what the policy provides. As it relates to this case, The definition of uninsured motor vehicle has been discussed and discussed again, so I won't go into too much detail, but it simply is owned. An uninsured motor vehicle does not include any vehicle or equipment owned by or furnished or available for the regular use of you. You is defined by the policy as named insured. Named insured is both Kimberly Verhoeve and Glenn Verhoeve.
Well, excuse me. Would you go back to what you were saying earlier about there are two named insureds on the policy.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, what if there were two separate policies? What if she had put her car on a separate policy with with Progressive?
If she had been on a separate policy, then she would have a separate coverage under her own vehicle and would be entitled to separate benefits under that separate policy. The problem that arises in this case, Your Honor, is because they are both the same named insureds, and therefore applying the policy as written with the definition of named insured fitting in to you in both the family member limitation and the definition of uninsured motor vehicle, it creates the overlap in coverage.
Okay, she would be recovering underinsured motors coverage under her own policy if she were on a separate policy. But she paid, or there was charged, a separate premium, it looks like, for uninsured, underinsured motorist coverage for her on this policy.
Yes, Your Honor.
There was a, they're broken down to two separate premiums.
They're broken down.
For her, one for him. So why aren't there two coverages, one for her, one for him?
Because they were issued as one policy, which was what was applied for by the named insureds. If there was a policy issued to Glenn Berhove and a separate policy issued to Kimberly Berhove, then she would be AU under her own policy.
Who makes that decision as to whether there's one policy or two issued to two named insureds?
That's the
underwriting department.
That was what insured. Was applied for by the applicants.
Do they get a discount, or is there a benefit from putting two cars on one policy?
I don't know. It wasn't before the court. There's no evidence to that effect one way or the other. Simply, this policy was issued as a single vehicle policy. And certainly time had passed prior to the time that this was issued, prior to the accident and subsequent to this being issued, which provided they could have had two separate policies issued if they wanted to. The issue before this court, though, is under one policy, is she entitled to recover separately when she herself, Kimberly, falls within the definition of named insured, is defined as a named insured. The policy is issued to her just as much as it's issued to Glenn Berhove, and thus falls within the coverage limitations or definitions as appropriate by applying the plain meaning of the policy.
One more question. I couldn't find in here, but I know in some policies there is specific language in a clause, I think it's even called a separability clause, that says the policy will apply separately to each insured, or words to that effect. Is there some language in the standard auto policy to that effect? Do you know?
I don't know whether that is in this policy, but I do know that that the definitions apply as they are written within this policy. And I'd be glad to advise the court to look at the policy and look at it later. But as to severability, the only clause I'm familiar with as to severability relates to a clause which states that if there is any portion of the policy that does not apply under a particular other state's law, that provision of the policy is severed and not applied held not to be unenforceable as a result of that. But as this policy reads, there is no distinction between the two named insureds, and that's why there is one single policy, which also comes back to a point that appellant has made. There's no case law to define or divide these two policies. There's no reason to do that because of the way they were issued in the first place.
All right, thank you.
As it relates to the UIM coverage, the provision is unenforceable. There's no dispute as to that. The provision has been upheld. There's no dispute as to that. What we have is the question in this case as to whether both insureds are you and both insureds fall within the provision. There is no case law whatsoever cited by appellant in support of their proposition that the liability provision as it relates to the family member limitation is unenforceable. There's no case law cited by the appellant to support their proposition that there should be a division of the policy, or as to how these applications should be limited or defined. What Progressive is requesting this court do is simply apply the policy as written, insert as it defined by the policy the word in for you, both named insureds, because that is the specific definition provided by the policy. And as those policy provisions are applied as written, two things happen. There is no UIM coverage under the policy because the vehicle itself is not an uninsured motor vehicle as defined by the policy. The reason for that? The vehicle and the UIM coverage follows the vehicle, and it defines whether a vehicle is an uninsured motor vehicle. It states, an uninsured motor vehicle does not include any vehicle or equipment owned by you. You is Glenn Berhove. It is undisputed he owns the vehicle. If he owns the vehicle and he's covered, there's liability insurance coverage on the vehicle, that vehicle is not an uninsured motor vehicle. As it relates to the liability provision, the same thing applies. we do not provide liability coverage for you, Glenn Verhoef, Kim Verhoef, under that policy, or any family member, for bodily injury to you, being Glenn Verhoef or Kimberly Verhoef, or any family member, except for the minimum limits required by state law. Here, both the definition fall within that. It's a conjunctive statement, if you will. The definition of you is both named insureds, or however many named insureds may happen to be on the policy. And putting both of those in there limits the right to recover. One of the things that appellant's counsel raised was that it doesn't make sense as far as application of the family member limitation as it relates to this claim. Clearly, an insured cannot sue him or herself under the policy. It would not make sense to put the same name in, and I'm referring to the family member limitation, in you. It would not make sense to say, we do not provide liability coverage for Glenn Verhoef for bodily injury to Glenn Verhoef. A person's not going to sue themselves. Here, it's got to be, as it relates to this provision, as it relates to the statutory interpretation of this provision, as it relates to the numerous cases that apply this provision, it relates to family members and people who are not strangers to the policy. And the purpose of this provision is to prevent people who are not strangers to the policy from bringing claims in excess of $20,000, or whatever the minimum statutory requirements are. Here, Glenn Verhoef and Kimberly Verhoef, by no stretch of any definition, can be found, either one of them, to be strangers to the policy. They're to be treated the same as family members, as these definitions provide. And in accordance with the application of these two definitions, both fall within these definitions, and as a result, the vehicle is not an uninsured motor vehicle, and it cannot be by definition. And secondly, the policy limits the indemnity obligation of Progressive to the statutory minimum requirements provided for under Texas law to $20,000, which is the amount that's been proffered by Progressive and refused by the plaintiff, or by appellant in this case. In order for the court to change any of these definitions, it would have to go against multiple cases, multiple definitions that have cases that have upheld these definitions on the basis of no case law or statutory support by appellant, other than the arguments asserted. These definitions are settled, and we simply request that the court enforce them as written. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ekwall. Mr. Martin, you've got 5 minutes.
I vehemently disagree with counsel when he indicates that this court would have to go against case law and a string of cases. This court will have to go against no case law, none. There is absolutely no case where a family member or a non-family member has been excluded by use of the family member exclusion. None. Every case that has been cited is where a passenger in a vehicle was a family member. I listened during counsel's argument, and it became clear to me as to how difficult it is to really make the argument, because I counted four times when he discussed, respectfully, the, quote, family member exclusion, and how the family member exclusion should be applied. She's not a family member. One of the last things that counsel indicated was, quote, they should be treated the same as family members, they being non-family members. So a non-family member should be treated as a family member under the family member exclusion. It doesn't make sense. And I will hearken back to the clear reading of the paragraph that giveth, the liability paragraph that giveth, and the liability exclusion that is allegedly taking away. And you cannot take away something you haven't given in either respect. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pick and choose who's the you. Another thing I completely disagree with, if you just look at the policy, what Progressive wants to do is use named insured, and they called them named insured Glenn, named insured Kim. And then they said you, singular, you being she, you being he. They are not in the conjunctive. If Progressive wanted to, what it could have said in its exclusion, and if we go to the just a liability exclusion on page 6, if it wanted to say, we do not provide liability coverage for either of you, or for maybe even both of you, actually that wouldn't work. We do not provide liability coverage for either of you. They could have done that. They could have placed that in that provision. When we go to the uninsured motorist portion of it on page 13, excuse me, down at the bottom, when Progressive wrote in its policy, uninsured motorist vehicle does not include any vehicle or equipment owned by you, they could have said owned by either of you. They didn't do it. They chose to write the single policy. And Justice Gardner, there is no severability clause in the contract, but I believe that a fair reading of the contract itself would lead to a reasonable interpretation of it being, because of their own language, that we've got to treat these coverages as separate. Because why? Because they wrote them as separate. They wrote a separate premium was paid for each of the coverages.
Was the policy issued while they were still married?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What?
Thing, and that is one case that I need to be reminded, and I'll remind the court, that the Global Aerospace versus Pinson, which I believe is cited, and many other cases in the state of Texas indicate that when the policy is subject to two or more reasonable interpretations, then that construction which affords coverage will be the one adopted and should be the one adopted. And I would simply say that if a reasonable interpretation is not what I have set out for the court, then I did not outline it correctly to you. I cannot see how a reasonable interpretation of a singular U, when looking at the liability coverages and the uninsured motorist coverages, what was covered and what was excluded, would be any other interpretation than what I've outlined. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Mr. Ekvall, we appreciate the presentation this morning. I think it's been helpful to the court. And you are excused, and you will hear from the court before long.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.